In Matthew chapter 5, we'll read the whole chapter here, beginning as Jesus came upon a mountain and preached to his disciples and the multitudes who gathered before him. Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 1, these are the words of the Lord. And seeing the multitudes, he went up on a mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For assuredly, I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said to those of old, You shall not murder, and whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment. But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without cause shall be in danger of the judgment, and whoever says to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council, or whoever says, You fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you. Leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. Agree with your adversary quickly while you are on the way with him, lest your adversary deliver you to the judge and the judge hand you over to the officer and you be thrown into prison. Assuredly, I say to you, you will by no means get out of there till you have paid the last penny. You have heard that it was said to those of old, You shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. For it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you. For it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish and for the whole body to be cast into hell. Furthermore, it has been said, Whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you that whoever divorces his wife for any reason except sexual immorality causes her to commit adultery, and whoever marries a woman who is divorced commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, You shall not swear falsely, I shall perform your oaths to the Lord. But I say to you, do not swear at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Nor shall you swear by your head, because you cannot make one hair white or black. But let your yes be yes, and your no, no, for whatever is more than these is from the evil one. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you not to resist an evil person. But whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. If anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, let him have your cloak also. And whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to him who asks you. And from him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you and do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Those are God's words. And this chapter begins through chapter 7, the sermon that Jesus preached on the mountain. It's the longest and fullest sermon Jesus preaches in Scripture. And it's less focused on what is to be believed, more focused on how we as God's children ought to live. And that at the very end there you saw that we must be perfect as our Father in heaven is perfect. Through verse 12, he teaches where blessing and happiness can be found in the Beatitudes. He then directs those who are his disciples of who they are. In verses 13 through 16, we are beloved salt of the earth and light of the world. He shows what his disciples must do. They are to, verse 17 and 20, be governed by his moral law, the very law of God that has not been abrogated or destroyed, but fulfilled in Christ. And then our Lord expounds upon a few of his commandments from the moral law. Verses 21 through 26, the sixth commandment, that even hatred or anger towards someone is murder. Verses 27 through 32, the seventh commandment, that lust is committing adultery, not just adultery proper. Verses 33 through 37, the third commandment, that we are to speak and not swear upon things, for that is taking God's name in vain. It's breaking the third commandment. And then verses 38 through 42, he expounds upon the law of retaliation that is talked about in the Old Testament. And then verses 43 to 48, the law of loving your neighbor, even if that neighbor is your enemy. Similar to what we will hear in the coming weeks in Romans 12, loving our enemy. God's people, you are called to come unto Christ for your salvation. Remember, it says that you should be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect, and that is impossible for any, even as we sang in Psalm 14 this morning, that we are corrupt of ourselves, that we need the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and so we are to come unto Christ for that righteousness. And when you have believed on Him and trusted in Him for your life and turned in your life to Him and following after Jesus, follow Him on the path that He lays out in the Scriptures here, even on the Sermon on the Mount. That what we learn is that the law is not merely physical like the Pharisees thought, but it is spiritual. It has to do with the state of your heart. It has to do with the state of your mind and the will and the affections. Everything you think, say, feel, and do. And it is not merely what it seems the Ten Commandments, very properly only adultery or murder, but it applies to many areas of life and all of our areas of life in many ways as it is expounded throughout the Scriptures. And so Jesus begins that sermon here, and we ought to listen and obey Him, follow in His way. And if you are not in Christ, then you must come to Him. Otherwise, there's no hope in keeping His law and His word. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, we give You praise this very day. We're thankful for Your word. We're thankful that Jesus did not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law so that we, your people, would be humbled and be blessed and happy, so that we would not be under the burden of these things of the world or the things that man likes to add to the law, but we have your law. Your perfect word, which we heard this morning, is your loving us by giving it to us. You, through the law, show us what is true righteousness, who you are, who your Son Jesus Christ is. That He walked in all the ways according to your law, and so fulfilled your law. And we give you praise for this, for we cannot and will not be able to ever be perfect in your law, except through and only through your Son Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Father, we give you praise, and we're thankful that you expound upon your commandments that you give in the Scriptures, that you clarify what they mean, not merely murder or adultery or taking your name in vain, but they have many applications in life. And so we are thankful for what we've been given in the Scriptures, and thankful, less so, but still thankful for what you've given in the larger catechism to help us understand and go back to the Scriptures and see that these things have been expounded throughout the Bible and through your word. Father, we ask that you'd help us in all of it to keep your word and to walk in the righteous path that Christ walked, that we would walk after him and follow him in all things, in and through the strength and the moving of the Holy Spirit who works in us, that we would not grieve or quench the Spirit, but that we would be that instrument of yours that brings glory to the name of the Father, even that name under heaven by which one must be saved, Jesus Christ. May your name be given glory and honor and praise. Father, we do have many requests, and we ask for your help. We pray for our government, those over us, even those where we meet in Grandview. Father, we ask that they would open up the times and the places so that we can worship, that we would be able to gather together freely as a congregation to worship you according to your word. We are thankful for the hospitality of the Stevenson family, and yet we are also thankful that you have given us governing authorities because you have given them to us. And so, Father, may we obey them where we are able according to your word, that in all things we obey your word, and where they are in keeping with your word, that we would obey and be the best citizens and honor you in all of it, and honor you in order that our good works would be seen by others and glorify you, the Father in heaven. And Father, we ask that they would rule according to your word, that they would make executive orders in accordance with your word, not only for the good of man and body, but for the soul. Father, we also plead that you would save those you've put in authority over us, that you would raise up leaders who will be elected or in some other way become those governing authorities over us that honor you and love you, who are your people, who fear your name. That is our desire. May you bring it about at the right time. And Father, we trust you will, that they would call upon pastors and churches and Christians to worship the only one and only one, only living true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, according to your word that's found in the Scriptures of the Bible, the 66 books of Holy Scripture, which is infallible and the living, breathing word of God. Father, we ask that you would be with little Mark today. He's struggling with teething. We ask that you would help him to rest and not be in pain and struggle with that. We ask that you would be with Shane in his interview this week, that you would give him success in that, and you would provide that job that he desires so that he might honor and serve you in that way and serve the community in Kansas City. We ask that you would grant to him, when you do provide that work, provide for him opportunities especially in emergency situations where he can share the gospel and give hope to those who are in great distress. And then, Father, we ask that you would watch over us, and you would grant to each of us your word. You would grant to each of us good health. And where not, we ask that you would cause us to praise your name nonetheless, because we know that you're the God who will heal us, because you're the God who is the healer, as much as you are the God who is the creator and the sustainer of all things. And as we've already mentioned and heard in the call to worship, Christ sits at your right hand, and he is exalted, and he rules and reigns as Messiah the Prince, as that priest after the order of Melchizedek, and the king after the line of David, the forever king who sits on the forever throne. May he be exalted, and may your enemies, all our enemies and his enemies, be put under his footstool. And we know that you will bring that about perfectly at the right time. And many already have. And Father, we're thankful that for his sovereign will. We are thankful for his sovereign purposes that he's bringing about, the providences that he brings into our lives, the good ones and the difficult ones. Because we know even that discipline of us is him loving us just as a father loves us. And Father, even the struggles and the dark providences, or the providences of suffering or persecution that might come upon your church, they come from him ultimately in his will. And so, Father, we ask that you would bring about a praise from our hearts to your name, because we know that even in such things, you work together all things together for our good, and that even suffering, the suffering that we endure, we do so in union with Jesus Christ, your Son, as Romans 8 teaches us. And that proves and shows as a fruit that we are children of God. We are part of your family. And so, Father, give us comfort in that, and in nothing else besides what we find in yourself, in your word, and even amongst the body of Christ and the promises of Scripture. Father, we pray all these things and ask for your help in all of it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.